You are about to listen to Martin Ruddick addressing King's Church, Milton Keynes, on Sunday, the 31st of January, 2010.
Okay, if you've got your Bibles, you might want to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Definitely one of the most challenging chapters in the Bible. For us personally, because it's so uncomfortable. Speaking about Jesus' return and Jesus, our preparation for Jesus' return. Have you ever been caught out, not prepared for something? Have you ever slept in where you promised someone, I'll be waiting for you at the front door. You pick me up at 6 o'clock, like us this morning. And I'll be ready for you, no problem. And then you lie in your bed and you hear them knocking at the door. Has anyone ever experienced that? Only you. There's only one honest man in this church. And you've totally blown it. You're not prepared. You're not ready. You've missed it. My 17-year-old or something-year-old son, who's doing his, when he got 9 kids, it's hard to keep a track of it all, but he's getting there. Thanks. He's doing his A-levels, and he went in for an exam the other day, and he read his sheet wrong, and when he read the times, he thought the start time, the end time was the start time. So he turned up for one of his A-levels, and everyone was coming out. He'd missed it. He'd missed one of his A-levels. I mean, good job, it was only general studies, but he'd missed it. And, he was a bit devastated. We were a bit devastated for a while, but terrible, isn't it? Something you should be prepared for. Or maybe you think you are prepared for it, but the timing has caught you out. Or you're just not prepared. You're not ready. And this sentence that keeps coming out of Jesus to his own disciples over and over and over again in this passage and about this issue of his return is, look, make sure you're ready. Be ready. Be prepared. And the teaching of Jesus in this passage is not so that we're scared, but so that we're prepared. If you're not prepared, you will be scared when it happens. And it is going to happen. Jesus is coming back, isn't he? He's coming back. And although we don't talk about it that much, partly culturally, partly because, you know, as the centuries roll on, you know, the truth is you don't hear that many sermons these days on the second coming. You just don't. But the fact is, for the early church, it was a big issue and a big deal. They taught about it. They preached about it. They prayed about it. It was very foremost in their thinking. We know that because of the amount of times it's mentioned. You know, in the New Testament alone, the second coming of Jesus is mentioned over 380 times. That's a lot of times. You know, baptism is mentioned 14 times. Repentance is mentioned about 70. Discipleship is mentioned about 30. The return of Jesus, 380 times. That's just in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, it's mentioned over and over and over again in the prophets. Jesus is coming back. And it's easy for us to fall into a sort of, you know, life goes on, doesn't it? And there's Christmas again, and there's Christmas again, and there's Christmas again. It doesn't do us any harm sometimes to just remember that one of these Christmases is going to be the last ever. That one of these Januaries is going to be the last turn of the year. There's a date coming. It's a real day. I mean, it's a date. I don't know what the date is. Jesus, incidentally, says that he doesn't know what the date is, but that it's definitely coming and warns his disciples to be ready. So this morning, looking at Jesus' teaching, I want to help you to be ready for Jesus' return. Let's just read a little bit together. Verse 36. You know, the context of this is that the disciples are coming out of the temple and they're looking at the big buildings and they're saying, Jesus, look at the buildings. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it great? And Jesus is saying, listen, don't get too hung up about things on this earth, big buildings, big institutions, the temple, anything, because it's all coming down. And it'll come down way before, this temple is going to come down way before I come back. But in the end, everything's coming down. Don't get too connected to this world when the big deal is the world to come. In verse 36, Jesus says this, no one knows about that day or hour. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Up to that day, Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man, says Jesus. Two men will be in one field, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding at the handmill, one will be taken, the other will be left. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time the thief was going to come and break in, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And he goes on there to challenge, you know, just some of the people who are going to be in charge, leaders in the church, which would be good for the leaders to read the next few verses, perhaps with a little bit of trembling. And then in the next chapter, he sort of points out the three ways that he wants us to be ready. Be prepared. He says to the disciples, look, it's coming. It's going to happen. There's no avoiding it. The end is going to happen. And when it does, when I come back. And even if you've died beforehand, you're not going to miss this day. Because the dead are going to be raised up first. You're going to be there. We're all going to be there on this day. We're all going to experience it together. It's going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen. It's not like a fairy tale. It may one day, as sometimes our thoughts about heaven can be. No, this is a real day. This is going to happen. You're going to be there. We're all going to be there. And Jesus is like a good teacher who wants his pupils to be ready for the exam. Imagine your teacher didn't prepare you for the exam. That wouldn't be very nice. And if he said to you, we're having a maths exam. Now, get your papers out. That's not a very... Jesus is not like that. Jesus loves us. He loves you. He's for you, not against you. Jesus wants you to be prepared, so he's a good teacher. So he's telling you beforehand the three parts of this exam and the answers. Would anyone like to know the answers? They're in Matthew 25. Jesus spoke them out to us. Here's the answers. Listen, this is what I'm going to be looking for. And this, this, and this. If you want to be ready for my coming, so you're okay with this, here's where to focus. Focus number one, surprise, surprise, on your relationship with Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus. This is what Jesus says first. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in their jars, oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight, the cry rang out, the bridegroom is here. Come out, meet him. All the virgins woke up. Everybody trimmed their lamps. But the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. This is an issue of dryness, of emptiness, of light fading and dying out. Give us some of your oil. And the wise virgins said, no, there might not be enough for us and you. Instead, go and buy from those who sell oil yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. Too late. The virgins who were ready went into the wedding banquet and the door was shut. Later the others came and said, sir, sir, open to us. But he said, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. This is an issue of relationship. It is possible to be in the church and it is possible to sing the songs and it is possible to be in a Christian family and it is possible to go to the conferences. And in one passage, Jesus said it's even possible to drive out demons in his name and experience miracles and not know the Lord. amazing, but true and scary. On that day, he says in another passage, many, not a few, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but we did miracles in your name, we cast out demons in your name, and I'll have to say to them, sorry, I don't know you. Your relationship with Jesus is the most important thing in your life. To know you and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent, is eternal life, said Jesus. You have to be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. You have to know Jesus personally. No one else's oil will do. No one else's fire will do. Getting prayer off someone, or having a Christian wife who's on fire and you're not, or being, you know, your mum and dad love Jesus, but you're just living in the shadow of that or whatever. Not enough. Jesus says, look, it's vital that you know me. This is the whole thing about salvation. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with me. So know the Lord. Don't let yourself get dry. Don't let yourself be empty. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, this stuff is available. Hey, there's oil available for you. Jesus is available to you. Do you want to know the Lord? You can know the Lord. Do you want to spend time with Jesus? You can spend time with Jesus. If you ring Jesus this afternoon on your cell phone and say, Lord, can we get together next week for a coffee? Guess what? He'll say, yeah. What day do you want to meet? Because I'll meet you anytime, any place, anywhere. Jesus is available to you. Do you know that? He's a scary truth. Do you know how much of God you have in your life and I have in my life right now? Exactly as much as I want. Do you know how much of Jesus you have in your life? How well you know Jesus? You know him as much as you want to know him? As you have a desire to know him, which is true? Years ago, Francis of Assisi, St. Francis, was being carried through one of the squares of Italy. It was later on in Francis' life when he was ill, dying, very famous in Italy those days. He was being carried through, and a man ran up to him and said, Holy Francis, please pray for me. And Francis, from his sort of stretcher, said, no. And he was being carried on. This guy began to, you know, was upset. But well, you know, a wealthy man, well known in this, in the village, in the town, runs after him again. Holy Francis, please say that you'll pray for me. Second time. No, I won't. The brothers carry him on. The man's in tears. He's devastated. He's running after him. Please, Holy Francis, please, I'm begging you, pray for me. Pray for my soul. Pray for me. Francis, in the end, stopped and said, look. He said, if this piazza was filled with treasure and each of us had our own portion, would you ask me to go and collect yours? And this man said, oh no, I'd go and get my own. Francis said, it's exactly like that with the kingdom of God. It's all out there. You go and get it. You want to know Jesus? You pray yourself. Don't ask me to pray for you. You pray. You come to God. You get to know Jesus. You reach out to him. You be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command. Be filled. You can be filled, so be filled. You can drink, so drink. You can know Jesus, so know Jesus. Get to know the Lord. The Lord is available to you. He's always available. He's not like one of these celebrities. You even get it in the Christian world now, don't you? Celebrities where speakers walk in and they have the security guards around them. That's absolutely hilarious to me. And they preach. And the walk off, the security guards walk them out the back and into the car. And there's 1,001 excuses why this is right. It's absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. Do you think the apostles lived like that? There were people who were touching the shadows, grabbing Jesus' body. Jesus was available. He was with the people. He walked through the people. If you stopped, if you said, Jesus, guess what? He stopped. What? Will you heal my mother? Yeah, I'll come if you want. Jesus! My daughter's dying. Really? I'll come. Let's sort it out. Jesus, Jesus. Someone's shouting me. It's a blind bloke over there. Bring him here. Jesus is available. He's not some rock star or some Christian celebrity behind 6 secretaries. He isn't. had a friend once who rang Mother Teresa in Calcutta and got her. He got her. He got the number. He was, you know, he was someone who, this was one of his sort of life heroes. He really loved Mother Teresa. And he was going through a devastating time in his life. And he said to me, "I'm going to ring Mother Teresa and ask her to pray for me." I thought, "You're a wacko, man. You, what chance do you stand of that?" And he proved me wrong. He got the number of the Sisters of Mercy in Calcutta. And he rang the convent. And guess who answered? And that blew me away. And it spoke to me. She picked up the phone. She said, "Hello, this is..." I don't know what she said at first, but when he started speaking English, she spoke English. And she was good with English, Mother Teresa. And he spoke to her, and she said, "This is..." He said, "I want to speak to Mother Teresa." He said, "This is Mother." He said, "No, I'd like to speak to Mother Teresa of Calcutta." She says, "Yes, this is Mother." And then he was like in a bit of a shock as he realized it was her. And she was the first port of call. She'd been walking down the corridor, phone rang, she'd have picked it up. Because she was just available to people. She was like Jesus Christ in that. Jesus is totally available to you. He's totally available. Let's not... You know what? There's no excuse. I'm talking to myself. I'm preaching to myself and to you. There's no excuse. Let's be absolutely determined this year to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To have plenty of oil. Not just full, but full and over. Flowing. Full and extra. Extra. To know the Jesus in the Word of God and be hungry and filled and have fire. This is all available to us. This is free. This is free. Ask and you receive. Jesus said the most important thing is that you are personally looking for the bridegroom, full, on fire. Yes, you'll fall asleep like everybody else. Yes, it'll be a shock. Yes, Jesus is here. It's going to be a shock. It's just a fact it is. He says he's coming at a time when none of us will expect. It's going to be a shock. It's going to be like jumping into the sea where we live in the north of England. It'll take your breath away. Massive. It's massive. The biggest thing that's ever happened. It's not a little volcano going off. It's Jesus coming back. Yeah, catch your breath. He said, pray every day. You'll have the strength to stand before the Son of Man. That's what he said in another passage. This is a big deal. This is God coming. Are you going to be close to him? Oh, yeah, you're his disciple, you're his friend. Let's make sure we're full. Let's make sure. You want to be ready? This is how to be ready. Be full. Have fire. Devotion. Love for Jesus. You get that from just being with him, don't you? Just be with him. He's a promise. You give him the time, he'll give you the heart and the fullness. And the devotion is just a fact. Number two. Faith is the issue. And risk is the issue. And courage is the issue. He's the parable. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven will be like. Interesting, he's not saying, all the other parables, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. When it comes to these, he says, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. It's not like this now, but it's going to be just like this when I come back. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. It's like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Each of them according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man had received the 5, went out, started to work the money. The man who had the 2 went out, started to work the money. And the man who had 1 went off, dug a hole, put it in the ground, left it there. You know the story. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Oh, I thought you'd given it to me as a gift. Well, yeah, but what have you done with it? And he settled accounts with them. It's an interesting thought, this, isn't it? I tell you what, Andy was telling me he's known Jesus 35 years. I've known Jesus about 10 years less than that. But I've known him, you know, I'm trying to follow him, walk with him, spoke to him. You know, like to think I love him. And he certainly loved me, been good to me, been good to my family, helped me. But I tell you what, here's the truth. When I think about the reality of me having a personal, and I'm going to have one, as you are, a personal interview with Jesus Christ, where he is going to settle accounts with me over these 25 years, and how it went with me, and how my faith was exposed, what happened. Right, Martin, do you want to talk me through 1997 to 1998? Can do. It's not comfortable, is it? It's a challenge. That's okay. It's meant to be. It's a challenge. These things are good for us. It's a challenge. And he settled accounts with them, and he said to them, you know, the man who had 5 talents came, you know the story, he's a good guy, he went out, did it all, 10 talents, great, well done, enter your master's happiness. The man who had 2 talents came back. The master said to him, you've well done, good, faithful servant, you've been faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of many, come and share my happiness. Then the man who received the 1 talent came and said, master, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you'd not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid. Here's the issue, fear or faith. And he went out and hid the talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Laziness is wickedness. It is. And it's connected to fear. It's interesting, in Proverbs, they often connect the two as well. The sluggard says, there's a lion outside. Fear and laziness are totally connected. I'm afraid to do it. I'm afraid to try. I'm afraid to risk. I'm afraid to go. I'm afraid to be. I'm afraid to do. You know what the Bible calls that? Laziness. Amazing. You always find an excuse why not to do something. It's human nature. Well, I might get hurt again. Yeah, you probably will. I'll have another run at it, but I broke my nose last time. Well, you might break it again, but you know what? Better to have another run at it. Better to have another run at it than to bury it. It's just a fact. You wicked, lazy servant, and he loses everything. And here's Jesus saying to his disciples, listen, if you want to be ready for me to come, here's what the issue is. It's about faith. It's about risk. The kingdom of God is expansive. It's growing. I don't want you to be lazy. And I don't want you to be afraid. Take risks with what I've given you, with who you are. At least you should have put my money, he says to the guy, in the bank. And then I would have, you know, had a bit of interest. You know, I personally think the bank bit is like the church. You know, the bank is where all the talents are together. And the least you could have done was used your gifts in the church. The least you could have done was served in the church and got busy in the church and, you know, blessed and did and multiplied something in the church. I would have at least had a bit of interest from it. You didn't even do that. That's terrible. In the light of what's happening in this world, that's terrible. It's wickedness. It's laziness. And, you know, whoever we are, the minimum is to serve, isn't it? To serve, practically, to love each other, to serve each other, to wash each other's feet, to do what needs to be done, just because it needs to be done. That's the base, that's the starting block of Christian ministry. The word ministry means servant. And people end up leaders in the church because they just serve. It's true, they do it because it needs to be done. Even preaching in front ministry, it needs to be done. Someone needs to do it. Someone needs to be willing to do it. Train to do it. Pray about it. Study. All the more hidden aspects of ministry and service, there's a willingness to do it. Listen, God has given you gifts and talents. We need to use them. Firstly, just anywhere. Anywhere that needs, anything that needs doing, just do it. That's where to start. If you don't know where to start, here's where to start. Just do it. Practical things, setting out chairs, literally, offer yourself, just get busy. I love that story of Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee was the leading figure in the church in China. Written books, was famous. When he became famous, some leaders from the American church and the British church went to visit him, to actually meet him. They took a massive journey into inland China and eventually came to the Bible College compound and the big church that was his base. But they got, the wrong weekend, and they got there, and there was nobody there. Everyone had gone away. All the Bible College students, the church, had all gone away for a weekend, praying and seeking the Lord. And they got there was literally no one there, and they're walking around, and eventually they found this guy who was cleaning the floor. He was mopping out the toilets with a little mop with his foot, like they do in these countries, and cleaning the floor, and he had his little cleaning clothes on. And they said, oh, we've come from the American church, we've come from the British church, we've come to meet Watchman Nee. You know, when will he be back? Is it possible? And he said, oh, no, he's still here. Everyone else has gone away, Watchman Nee's still here. I'll get him for you. And he went out, and you know what I'm going to say, don't you? It was Watchman Nee. Takes his little coat off, gets rid of his rag, smartens his shirt, walks out another door. Pleased to meet you. Watchman Nee. And that had a massive impression upon these big leaders who come to see this great man who's shaking up half of China. And he's cleaning the loos. Partly, that's why he's shaking up half of China. And that's why he's got the Bible calling. That's why he's got the... Because you just do what needs to be done because it needs to be done. That's the first aspect of serving. But you know what? Here's the truth. Many people get stuck there. They get stuck there. I'm doing this because it needs to be done, but it's not what you're called to do. That's where you start. You don't end there. Then you've got to get served specifically. God has given you specific gifts. Specific. You have gifts from the Holy Spirit. You need to develop them. You need to invest in those things. You do. You know, one day, the rabbit went to school in the woods. In the wood school, and he got there, and there was the rabbit and the squirrel and the fish, and they were all sat down in the school, and they were excited to be at school. And the teacher said, right, we're going to do different lessons. First of all, we're going to do a running lesson. The rabbit thought, awesome. The fish really struggled. The squirrel did okay. Then the second lesson of the day was swimming. Now the rabbit and the squirrel were in trouble, but the fish was awesome in his element. Third lesson of the day was climbing. Rabbit had a few problems. Fish never really got off the ground. And the squirrel, obviously, was top of the class. At the end of the day, the teachers got the head of the school got them together for a little personal one-to-one and said to the rabbit, listen, we've noticed that you're good at running. So we've knocked that off your schooling. We want to train you with the things you're not good in to get you better at them. So we're going to work with you every day at swimming and climbing. And the rabbit came out of school that day absolutely depressed. Walking home depressed, sick. And as he reached his house, he made this promise to himself. He said, when I get older, I'm going to open a school. And I'm going to develop the gifts that people are good at. A school where rabbits run, and squirrels climb, and fish swim. That's called the church. It's meant to be the church. You are gifted in certain areas and weak in others. Listen, development means you forget the others. As you go on, you focus on what you're awesome at. Because you are awesome at something. The Holy Spirit has given you some things. Might be prayer. Might be hospitality. Might be preaching. Might be healing. Might be deliverance. Might be, I don't know. Could be a million and one different things. But what? Listen, it's your responsibility. You've got to find them. You'll know them. You need to know them more accurately. And then focus. Focus. Why a footballer? Well, how do you think footballers live? Do you think footballers knock around with ballerinas or golfers? They don't. Footballers knock around with footballers. They meet footballers for dinner and footballers' wives. They talk football. They think football. They're reading. What do you think they're reading? Shakespeare. They're reading football. Do you know what? That's how they become awesome and excellent. It's called focus. Ballerinas don't knock around with footballers. They read in Ballet Weekly, if you get it. Are they reading? Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, you need to become focused. Focused. Evangelists, prophets, pastors, apostles, teachers, those gifts are spread in this room, sprinkled throughout. Find where your bias is and begin to put your weight there. and develop these gifts and use them, because if you've got 5 talents, God wants them to become 10. If you've got 1, that's awesome. Make sure it's 2 by the time you meet the Lord. Don't be lazy. Don't be afraid. Banish laziness and cowardice. We're not afraid for nothing. We're not thick. We're not afraid for nothing. We're afraid for good reason. We're afraid because of pain. You get hurt when you fail. You get hurt when you try. In England, you get hurt for talking about wanting to try. You get mocked, pulled down, hindered. Other leaders get threatened by you. Oh, there's a million and one. None of it comes into the mix. Jesus said, look, you just got to go out. You've got to invest. You've got to risk. You've got to try. You've got to do it. And the most important thing is that you're available. Are you totally available to God to do whatever he wants you to do? Don't you be bashed on the head about this. This is a grace issue. It is. Andy was saying about grace today. And this is about grace. I was reading this the other day and it made me laugh. In this book, Don't You Stand There, Pray Something. This guy said, that day I had a little talk with the tap in the kitchen. One day, walking through the kitchen, I noticed the kitchen tap seemed a bit down in the dumps. I stopped and said, hey, tap, what's wrong? You look depressed. Yes, master, I am. Why so? The tap looked down. I failed you. I'm sorry. Failed me? How? Well, sir, I've seen you pass by 12 times today, and I haven't done anything for you. I haven't washed your hands. I haven't quenched your thirst. I haven't done anything. Oh, a couple of times I tried to turn myself on, but I was only able to squeeze out a couple of drops. It didn't amount to much. I'm sorry. I patted his shiny chrome head. You silly kitchen tap, I said. You're right. I've passed by you 12 times today, and you haven't done anything for me. You haven't turned on once today. That's my business. If I'd wanted to wash my hands or take a drink, I would have turned you on. I don't want you turning yourself on. All you will do is waste water and make a mess. I looked at the tap straight in the nozzle and said, listen to me. Every time I walked by you today, I knew you were here. I knew that if I wanted to use you, all I had to do was touch you, and you would respond. I don't measure your faithfulness by how much water you dispense. I judge it by your availability to me. You've been faithful to me today, Tap, because you've been available to me. I'm proud of you. It's nice, isn't it? And true. Jesus doesn't judge us by how many talents we've got. He judges us by our availability. This is a heart issue. This is a will issue. Lord, I'm here. I'm ready. If you say try this, I'll try this. If you say go to Haiti, I'm going to book the ticket. If you say open my home, it's open. You know who I am. You know my limitations. You know my weaknesses. You know what I'm going through at the moment. But I am available to you as much as I can be. That's what it's about. And lastly, and I'll be finished by 3, I promise, is this issue of compassion. And this is a little bit different because it's not actually a parable. This is, again, just something that's literally going to happen. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne of heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. And he will separate the people one from another. Wow. Wow. Individual separation. Amazing. And quite awesome. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And he will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous people say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you, stranger, invite you in, needing clothes, sick, and all the rest? And the king replied, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. Wow. Wow. And then the king turns horrifically to the people on his left and says, go. You're cursed into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry. You gave me nothing. I was thirsty. You gave me nothing. I was a stranger. You did not invite me in. I needed clothes. You did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison. You did not look after me. They'll say, Lord, Lord, when did we see? Lord, if we knew it was you, Lord, we'd have done something. It was me. Too late. Now listen, Jesus is telling us this so that, not so that we're scared, although it won't do us any harm, but so that we're prepared. So this is the kind of life we lived. Interesting. Sin is something that you don't do. Did you know that? Theologians call it sin of omission. In the Anglican and Catholic churches, they have a confession that goes like this. Lord, forgive us for the things we have done and the things we have failed to do. Forgiveness for the things you have failed to do. All this problem for these people on the left was things they didn't do. They hadn't done anything wrong, but they hadn't done anything right. We are in this world to do good. To do good. To do it. To those who are in need. Everywhere you go, wherever I travel, whichever denomination, whichever church, people always say the same thing. I don't know what God wants me to do in my life. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm praying for guidance. I don't know what God wants to do in my life. Well, I tell you what, why don't you just do this until you find out? How about feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting prisoners, healing the sick? Should we just start there until he shows us? We do know what to do. What we don't know often is how to do it. And he'll show you how you should do it. How you should do this. We need to do this. And you know what? It's so personal, isn't it? You didn't invite me in. This is individual. I mean, he's talking to individuals. You didn't invite me in. You didn't feed me. I was thirsty. You gave me nothing. It's not like, well, our church had a ministry. This is personal. Now I'm talking to you. This is about your home. It's actually about your heart. This is about your money. This is about your time. This is about you giving something to the people of this world who are desperate, because guess what? For you, they're me. I'm going to make it easy for you, says Jesus, and lets the whole church know for 2,000 years, written in black and white right here, whenever you do it for them, listen, guys, you're doing it for me. Oh, that really helps. Thank you, Jesus. Because that tramp stinks. And that drug addict drives me round the bend. And that person I did invite in was completely ungrateful and went and slandered my name all over town. And nicked me bedside clock. And my wife didn't agree with it. And I got blasted off the church. And so you need to know. Jesus said you need to know. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Might be dramatic. Might be awesome. Might be tiny. You're doing it for me. And I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward you. Jesus makes that very clear in Revelation. I know your deeds. It's not a negative thing, that. Oh, I'm watching. I know your deeds. It's every single thing you do. You give a cup of cold water. You pray. You try. You want to help. I see it all. Thank you. Well done. Well done. that will not be forgotten. That's recorded. That's recorded. Amen. What time is it? It's a time to finish. Bounderby, isn't it? Yeah. Could tell you a little story, but what time is it now? 22 minutes past 3. Let's finish. We don't need stories. Should we stand? And let's just pray and respond to the Lord. I'm sure he's spoken to you as to me through some of that. And so if you've got some words for people, that'd be awesome as well. We'll do that as well. Share a few prophetic words as well. Let's just meet with the Lord first, shall we? You know, Lord Jesus, we thank you for being so kind as to give us warning and pre-warning about this time when you're coming. And you give us encouragement, Lord, to be ready. Thank you. Lord, I want to be ready. Do you know what? I feel unready. I'd like to be more ready. I'd like to work on all three of these areas in my life, Jesus. I'm sure everyone here probably feels the same. So, Jesus, we just want to come to you and say, first and foremost, we're available. We're just opening our hands to you again and saying, Lord, touch us. Lord, fill us. Lord, direct us. Focus us. And send us. Let us go about doing good. Let us do all the good we can to everyone we can, for as long as we can. Lord, where we're hurt, heal us. Where we're disappointed and damaged, heal us. Help us forgive from the heart. Keep moving on. Keep moving on. Thank you that any minute we're all going to be together with you. Thank you that in the blink of an eye, this life will be over, either personally or all together in one big bang. We're going to be with you. It's a fact. Lord, we want to be ready now for that day. We don't want to be looking around for oil. We don't want to be making excuses and apologizing for burying talents. And we don't want to be shocked at missed opportunities either. Lord, help us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for your grace. Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask you now to show us individually areas where you want us to work on this. Thank you. Why don't you be seated? Amen.